Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamed Daled Amud Aleph, the Amar Abaye, Amar Li Aim, Abaye says his nurse told him, Hayinuka Desumak, an infant that is red, Da'akate Lo Ivla Bei Dama, his blood has not yet been properly absorbed, Lisrukuleyad De Ivla Bei Dama, we should wait until his blood has been properly absorbed, Ulam Haluha, only then should we perform the Bris Mila. Similarly, the Yarok, if the infant is green, Va'akati lo nafal beidama, his blood has not yet fallen, has not yet descended. Lisruchu ad nafal beidama, we should again wait to do the bris until the blood is properly descended. V'lum haluha, only then should we do the bris. D'tanya, Abaye now brings support from Abraisa to this wisdom of his nursemaid. Am Rabbi Nasan, Pam achas halachti lekrach hayam, I once traveled to cities of the sea. Ubayi shalafanai shamala bin arisha numeis sheni umeis shlishi aviyasi lafanai. A woman approached me. She had circumcised her first two children. They had both died. Now she had a third child. She brought the child before me. Reisiv shu adam. I saw the child was red. Amarti la hamtini la ad shiv labo damo. Wait to do the bris mila until the blood is properly absorbed. Hamtini la ad shiv labo damo. Wait. She waited until the blood was properly absorbed. Umala oso. Then she performed the bris mila v'chaya, and indeed the child lived. They were grateful to him, so they called the child Nasna Bavli. Shuv pamachas halachil mdinas Kaputkia. Similar story. He once traveled to Kaputkia. Ubaz ishaach lefanei shemala b'narishin umei sheini umei shlishi v'yasi lefanei. Her first two children had died. She brought the third one to him, to Nasna Bavli. Reisiv shu yarak. This time he saw he was green. He saw that the child didn't have the dam that he should have had. Amartila again, Hamtinila, Chipal Bodamo, wait until the dam descends. Hamtinilo, she indeed waited. Umalo, Sivachaya, he indeed lived. And again, Ohekar and Shmo, Nasna Bavli El Shmi. They called the child in tribute to him, Nasna Bavli. Now, this seemingly very straightforward, very logical Gemara, perhaps surprisingly, has an incredible amount of discussion, controversy, confusion in the poskim, as we shall demonstrate. Basic questions of what is pshat in the story, what halachic implications does the story have, are vigorously debated among the Gedolei Achronim. First, a bit of lumdus, turning our attention to Rashi. Rashi says, Hamtini lo, when Rabbi Nasan ordered the woman to wait to perform the bris, Rashi says, "De'ein l'cha davar hamrim b'fnei pikuach nefesh, chutz me'avodes chachavim v'gilei ra'is u'shvichas damim." Only the three cardinal sins remain; their imperative remains in force in the face of pikuach nefesh. Nothing else, not even mila. Now, while this does seem to be a pretty obvious thing to say, nevertheless, the Achronim have two kashas on this Rashi. First, they ask, Rashi seems to indicate that the reason we didn't do the Mila is because this Mila is not one of the Gimel Chamuros. It's not as serious as Avodah Zarah, Gilei Ra'is, and Shvichas Dam. The Achronim ask, even if it would be, so what? The Gimel Chamuros themselves are not Amud B'fnei Pikuach Nefesh if you're going to have to violate them B'Shev V'Al Taseh. If someone tells you, the bad guys tell you, kill somebody, do something with an arrow or will kill you, then you have to say, Yahar Val Yavar, I can't do it, and you have to let yourself be killed. But B'Shev Val Taseh, if they say, let us throw you on somebody and kill him, or a woman who's Karka Olam and she doesn't do the arrow actively, then the halach is Yavar Val Yaharik. So Mila, all he's doing is he's refraining from doing a bris Mila. So even if it would be as chamer as the three cardinal veras, it still, Lachar, would not be Amud B'fnei Pikuach Nefesh. This kasha is asked by the Sholem Eshev and Avnei Nezer. Sholem Eshev mentions that he heard that a Chacham Echad out of Poland had this kasha and says that he asked Rav Shlomo Pluger, and Rav Shlomo Pluger gave him Tirutzim B'tchukim. Anyway, the Sholem Eshev and Avnei Nezer both give similar Tirutzim, Lamdash Tirutzim, although slightly different hasber. The Sholem Eshev says, when do we say that B'Shev Val Taseh, even the Gimel Chamuros, are Yavar Val Yehareg? That's because the Torah said, don't do an Erva, don't murder, don't do Avodah Zarah. So if you do it B'Adayim, then the halacha is Yehareg Val Yavar. But if you do it B'Shev Val Taseh, you allow yourself to be thrown on a tinok, you're not really doing murder. You're doing it b'shei aval taseh. So that's not exactly what the Torah told you not to do. So b'makom pikuach nefesh, since you're only doing it b'shei aval taseh, that's not considered a full-fledged violation of the Isser. So we say yavar val yehari. Mila, he says, the Torah told you, do Mila. If you don't do Mila, you're doing or not doing exactly what the Torah didn't want you to do. The Torah wanted you to do Mila. You're not doing Mila. So you're in frontal and utter confrontation with the Torah. And that would be Aser if Mila would be as Chamur as the Gimel Chamurus. Avinezer says something similar. He brings a Ran. The Ran explains the whole Makar, the whole source for this din that B'Shev Val Tase, we say Yar Val Yehareg, is, as we mentioned before, the case where the bad guys want to throw you on somebody else and kill the other person. So we say, you can do it. You can let yourself be thrown. So the Avinezer brings the Ran. The Hesber is, he says, that you're not interested in killing the person. You just don't want to resist. They say if you resist and don't allow us to throw you, we'll kill you. So you're simply declining to resist and thereby allowing them to throw you and thereby ultimately resulting in the other person getting killed. But he says, you're not directly interested in the murder. You'd be very happy if you didn't resist and they left you alone. All you're interested in is in not fighting back. You're not interested directly in the Avera. Bishlam, if you do the Avera, Bekumva say, they tell you, kill him or we'll kill you. So you're directly intending to kill him and you want to kill the other person, or Avodah Zarah, or Gilui Arayos. But here, you don't particularly care whether the other guy gets killed or not. All you want to do is not resist. What happens afterward, you actually hope they change their mind and leave you alone. So that's, again, that's not called that you're directly violating the Avera, and that's why it's Mutter B'Shev Val Tase. Again, but Mila, where you are directly declining, refraining from doing the mitzvah of Mila, since you're in direct conflict with the mitzvah, if the mitzvah would be as chamur as the Gimel Chamuros, then the halacha would be Yeharig Val Yavar. The other kasha they ask in Rashi, and Avinezer discusses this, is, again, even if it would be the Gimel Chamurus, even if Mila would be just as dire, just as serious as the three cardinal sins, that would mean that even if you're in danger of your life, that if you perform the Mila, something might happen to you, you would have to do it anyway. But here he says, if the child is too sick, too weak to withstand a Mila, you will have actually killed him. That's murder, he says. So there's certainly no heter to murder somebody to do a mitzvah. You can't murder Reuven to avoid murdering Shimon. So if it would just be an indirect, incidental pikuach nefesh, then fine. Then avodah zarah, gilui arayos, and shfichas damim, or anything that would be as chamur as them, would be omed even makom pikuach nefesh. They certainly would not allow you to kill somebody b'yadayim. So again, what is the havamina that you would perform mila on the child and directly kill him? No matter how chamur Mila is, there certainly couldn't be any justification for actually murdering the poor child. So Avinezer gives two very interesting terutzim. One terutz, he says, is in a chinami. There is a havamina that you would actually kill the child. He says, Mila is dacha Shabbos. Shabbos is naver, which is chiyuv skila. So hu adin ritzicha, which is also chiyuv mises beistin, there would be a havamina that Mila would be dacha the isser of ritzicha. So mitzad the isser, he says, Mila is such an important mitzvah that there would be a havamina that Mila would be dacha ritzicha. Even though he says, L'sirtzach is ra gam l'brias, it's navera and it's also antisocial, but since Mila is a tikkun for the tinok, that's called tov l'brias. So mitzad the isser of ritzicha, he says, Zinachanami. There would be a svar to say that Mila is dacha ritzicha. It's only because the enel chadavar ha'un v'hev b'koach nefesh, which is a totally different consideration, that's why you don't do the Mila. Another teretz, he says, is he proves that there's a difference between the standard of likelihood for pikuach nefesh and ritzicha. Halacha is, he says, a gosis bide adam, someone who's already mutilated and dying. So hahargo pater, if someone murders that almost dead person, he's pater, because we say rov gosisim l'misa, he's probably dead. Nevertheless, we're mechal and Shabbos to save him. If that gosis, if his life can be saved, or if we can do anything that might save his life, we do it. Even though Rav goes in Lamisa, we don't treat him as he's already dead because we say Ein halacha pikuach nefesh achar Rav. So we see clearly, Avinezer says, that the standard for pikuach nefesh and the standard for the isser of ritzicha, for the chiyuv of the aver of ritzicha, are different. Pikuach nefesh has a very, very low standard, Ein halacha achar Rav, so any possibility of saving a life we do. But ritzicha works with the regular klalim of the Torah, and if Rav is that a gosis is dead, we treat him as dead. He says, that's how we can understand Rashi too. Even after the Chazaka, he says, this Chazaka, what happened? Two children died, Machlas Mila, he says, all right, but that doesn't make it a real suffix. That's just the Chashash Rachuk. The Gemara calls it Sakanta. It doesn't call it Ritzicha Mamash. He says, it's Sakana. So regarding that Veir of Ritzicha, we would say, there's probably no Ritzicha. He's probably not going to die. It's just a remote possibility. So mitzad the Isra of Ritzicha, even though it's certainly an Isra Chamer and nothing would be allowed at the expense of Ritzicha, that's true. But here, the likelihood is so low that we wouldn't ask her because of the Isra of Ritzicha. It's only because of Pikuach Nefesh and the rule that Ein Lecha Davar Haven Fit Pikuach Nefesh, that's why we don't do the Mila. Now, returning to the Gemara, as we have seen, has two parts. First, there was Abaye's basic statement in the name of his nurse, that if the child is red or green, we postpone the Mila. Then there's the Raya he brought from Rabbi Nassan. Rabbi Nassan's cases were two children had already died. Then they brought a third child, and then he saw the child was red or green, and then he postponed the Mila. In order to understand better the connection between these two stories, we really have to turn to another Gemara, the famous sugya of Mesu Echav Machlas Mila. This is a Gemara in Yevamos and Daf Samach Dalet. There's a long, complicated sugya discussing various cases of chazaka, where something bad has happened two or three times, Machlokes Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel. Examples are a woman who had two or three marriages without kids, or a woman who had two or three husbands die while she was married to them. Meisuach and Machas Mila, the Gemara brings a b'raisa, Mala Harishon Umei, Sheni Umei, Shlishi Lo Tamal Devei Rebbe, and the poskim say this is even without any question of red, the mere fact that two children died, we don't do a bris for the third one. Shimon Gamliel says you need three times or four times. He says Shlishi Tamil or Vilo Tamil until you already have three problems. You don't have a chazaka. Gemara goes back and forth how we paskin. Gemara brings a maisa ba'ar ba'achayos. This is achayos mechazkos, even four sisters. Since they're all from the same family, that we create a chazaka. Shemala Rishon Omeis, Shni Omeis, Shlishis Omeis, Revius Bailuf Rebbe Shimon Gamliel Amar La'al Tamoli. Even though each mother had only lost one child, since all four mothers came from the same family, we tell the fourth one not to do the Mila. The Gemara brings a story of Kamedra of Yochanan, Mechnishta Dema'on, Biyom HaKippurim, Shechalias B'Shabbos, Mala Rishonu Mei, Shniyo Mei, Shlishes Balafan of Amar Lalachim Moli. Again, he held like Rav Shimon Gamliel, that until three times there's no Chazaka. So the third one you still do, only the fourth one you wouldn't. And the Gemara's Masber, what is the Chazaka of Mila? Each of these cases has to have some rationale, some reason, something we think connects these different cases, something that the trend points to. Bishlam Gara Mila, the Gemara says, Ika Mishpacha de Rafi Dama. Their blood is weak or loose. Some people, I believe, have suggested this is some form of hemophilia. Many of the poskim do discuss such a thing as, they mention what pretty clearly is hemophilia, that when a person cuts even a finger, they say, the blood is very hard to stanch, and it just rushes out, and it can endanger him if successful efforts are not made to stop the blood flow. Ikamishbacha de Kamet Dama. Maskana is not clear, but the Rishonim Paskin that we're Machmer or Mekel, like Rebbe, that even twice is a Chazaka, and we do not do Mila if even two brothers have died, Machmas Mila. So now, returning to Argamar and Shabbos. There are a number, about a half dozen, interrelated questions that we can ask on the story of Rabbi Nassan and the connection to Abaye's statement. First of all, most fundamentally, did Rabbi Nassan actually know of the deaths of the first two children of the woman? Certainly the implication is that he did. That's what the Beis Ephraim, other Achrim say. He's the one who told the story, and he told us that two children had died. Presumably he knew that at the time he issued his initial ruling. The Rabbis and Abshis are going to disagree, but most Achronim assume that he did know. If he did know, then the first basic question is, what was Abaye's raya from that bride of Rabbi Nassan to his din? His nursemaid had said, red or green, you don't do a meal even once. Rabbi Nassan had a case where two children had already died. That's a whole different kettle of fish. How can we prove from Rabbi Nassan that mere redness or mere greenness is sufficient to reason to push off the meal? Moreover, another question, if Rabbi Nassan actually knew the history of the woman, that two children had died, then it's not at all simple to understand why he was so quick to be mekil after the redness or greenness had receded. Sof kol sof, this woman's children were mesu machmas mila. She'd already lost two children. So who said that just because he was red and he became unred, he was green and he became ungreen, that he can do the mila? Who said that this is not considered mesu machmas mila? Another question. Even if we assume that Rabbi Nassin knew that she had lost two children, the Gemara is not at all clear as to whether those two children were also red and green or not, and did Rabbi Nassin know whether they were red or green or not. If we assume that Rabbi Nassin did not know whether those children were red or not, then the question we asked before, how could he be Mekel, is even stronger. As far as we know, the first two children may have died without being red, without being green, and they may have been classic Mesa Machmas Mila. So how could he be so quick to do a Mila on the third child after the redness went away? This looks like a classic Mesa Machmas Mila. So all these questions are discussed by various Achronim. They're obviously interrelated questions. We will now proceed to discuss the approaches of the various Achronim to these questions. So as we mentioned earlier, Rav Yonatan Eibschitz, in his Crazy Place on Yerodea, is virtually the only Achron who actually assumes that Rabbi Nassin did not know anything about the first two children. As far as he knew, at the time when he was asked the Shaila, even though when he wrote the Braisa, somebody knew that there had been two children, but at the time the woman came to him, he did not know anything about the initial children. And he, Taka says, halacha lemaisa, that if you know of the two children who had already died, then you cannot be makel to do the bris mila on the third one, even if he was red and the redness went away. You still have to treat this like a mesa machlas mila. And that's how he explains why the Rambam and the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch actually omit this din of Rabbi Nassim. They bring Abaye's din that a red child or a green child does not get a bris mila. They don't bring Rabbi Nassim's din that after a woman has lost two children, you can still mal the third one if he was red and he became unred. Why not? Why don't they bring it? Says Rabbi Nassim Eibschitz, because lahalacha, we don't paskin like that. Lahalacha, we paskin that once she lost two children, that's the end of the story. We don't want to hear about red or not red, the third one. Once she lost two children, she is a certified Mesa Machlas Mila. The kids are Mesa Machlas Mila, and we cannot be Mekil to do a Bris Mila on the third child, no matter what. Most Achronim reject the Crazy Uplasi. They say that certainly Rabbi Nassin did know about the first two children, as the Beis Ephraim says. He was the one who tells the story. He certainly would have asked. He certainly saw she was coming to him with a child. He would have asked about her history. He takes for granted Ayin Ra to Shurenu, certainly says that he knew about the first two children. And still, he was willing to say that after the redness or greenness receded, she can go ahead with the Bris Mila. And regarding the Rav and Abshitz's question about why the Rambam left it out, he says it's Pasha, because Ladina, there's no Nafkamina, he says. Because he says, in Rabbi Nassim's time, he makes the point many Achronim make, Rabbi Nassim's din, Abaye's din of not doing a bris for a red child was not yet widely known. So he says, there, she already did the bris on the first two. They may have been red, but she did the bris anyway. She didn't know this red din. She got worried in the third child. She came to Rabbi Nassim, he says. But Ladina, for us, Rabbi Nassim's din is not Nageh, he says. Obviously, if the first two children were not red, then it goes without saying that you can't do a bris mila on the third one, because forget about red. And the third one is Mesa Machlas Mila, even if the red goes away. So obviously, Rabbi Nassim's din is only relevant insofar as the first two children were red. But if they were red, he says, then he shouldn't have done the bris mila in the first place. So you're never going to get to Rabbi Nassim's situation. Rabbi Nassim's situation only arose because they didn't yet know this scientific point not to do a bris mila on a red child. But b'zman hazeh, we will never have the situation described by Rabbi Nassim, even though somebody might go against the halacha, might be supremely ignorant and violate the halacha, but avarimah like a tani. The Shulchan Aruch, the Poskim, I'm not interested in telling you halachas which are only based on people acting shelo kedin. Also, the Beis Ephraim adds, we can say milsa d'pshita b'lav hachi. This idea that if a Nassim situation does come up, they can be makel after the red goes away, is pashut, because the chazaka of dying here is only red and green children dying, not ordinary children. So obviously, if the third one is also red and then the red goes away and he becomes normal, obviously he can do a bris mila. This is almost the opposite of the Tumim. The Tumim says the din of Rabbi Nassim is not true, and the Beis Ephraim says the din of Rabbi Nassim is pashut. The Beis Yitzchak says something very similar. He's also madche the pshat of the Plesi, and he also says that certainly Rabbi Nassim did know about the earlier children. Regarding the question of why the Rambam left it out, he says very similar to the Beis Ephraim, but a little bit more sophisticated. He says, again, in Rabbi Nassim's time, this halacha of not doing a bris for red children was not widely known. So We don't know exactly, he says, whether the first children were red or not. Rabbi Nassim himself didn't know. This is a point which we shall return to in more detail later, but he assumes that Rabbi Nassim himself did not know what the status of the earlier children were. But he knew that very possibly they were red, because the halacha of not doing a bris on a red child was not widely known. So even whoever her moel had been may not have known the halacha and may have gone ahead with the bris milah, even though the children were colored. However, says the Beis Yitzchak, today, where everyone knows that we don't do a bris milah on a red or green child, then we would always assume that the first two children certainly were not red. And if the first two children were not red, we would certainly not do a milah to the third one, because we would have to assume that it's regular mesa machmas milah, because it's highly implausible that the first one was red, because that would imply that the mohel had acted shalok adin, and everyone knows the halacha, and a mohel would not do that. The Teferis Yaakov on Chulin, where the Brayis of Rabbi Nassim is also brought on Chulin Mem Zayin, Teferis Yaakov explains the Gemara almost exactly opposite, the converse sort of pshat of the tomb. He says, when the woman came to Rabbi Nassim, she didn't even bring the baby. She wasn't asking about red. She was just asking about the fact that it was that she had already lost two children. Her shaila was whether we paskin betray mili have a chazaka or not. Rabbi Nassim decided to ask about red. So while Rabbi Nassim Eibshitz understands that Rabbi Nassim didn't know anything about the first two children, all he knew was red, Teferis Yaakov says just the opposite. The woman came to him asking about losing two children. Rabbi Nassim was the one who introduced the issue of red, but certainly he knew of both issues. So as we mentioned earlier, if we assume, as most poskim do, that Rabbi Nassim did know about the earlier deaths, what we have to explain then is, what was Abaye's raya to his nursemaid's advice, to his nursemaid's warning for Rabbi Nassim? Abaye said, you shouldn't do a bris milah on a red or green child, because that's what I see in the brayos of Rabbi Nassim. But in Rabbi Nassim's case, this was already the third child. So that's why he was machmer. That's why he was machmer or mekel, whatever you want to call it, not to do the bris milah. Where do you see that even on the first child, if he's red, you shouldn't do a bris milah? So this question is raised by, again, a number of achranim, including the Lev Aryeh and the Tshuvas Harim. Lev Aryeh and Chulin and the Chidush Harim, Rabbi Yitzchak Meir of Ger in his Tshuvas in Yerodea. They both say similar terutzim. The Tshuvas Harim adds an additional point. They both say that the raya for Rabbi Nassim was not really from the fact that he initially didn't want to do the bris milah. Of course he wouldn't do the bris milah. She already lost two children. That's not a raya to Abaye. The raya was from the tzad haheter. The raya was that he was willing to do the bris milah after the redness went away. If redness would not be an issue, then it was regular meis machmas milah. If redness is nothing, it's just cosmetic and has no physiological significance, why on earth would Rabbi Nassim have been mekel after the baby returned to a normal color to do a bris milah? She already lost two children. This is meis machmas milah. Obviously, says Lev Aryeh, obviously Rabbi Nassim understood that red is of crucial physiological significance. And once it goes away, then we say he can do the bris milah. So if the redness is such an important factor, we can use it to go ahead with the milah and not worry about the child dying, then certainly we should use it as a red flag l'chatchila, even before there's a chazaka, not to do the bris in the first place. And the Tshuvas Harim says roughly the same thing, but he adds an important other point. He says that there are two different levels of red. The Rambam's Lashon, when he brings a bayis din of not doing a bris milah on a red child, he writes Adam biyoser and Yarek biyoser. Mild red, mild green, you do the bris milah, just not very red and very green. So he wants to learn that in Rabbi Nassim's case, it was not very red. It was not very green. It was just ordinary red and ordinary green. And that itself would not have been enough to block the bris milah had it only been the first child. But because this was the third child, Rabbi Nassim knew that, not like the Plessy. So three children and the first two died, then that was enough to treat it like Mesa Machlas Milah. But once the redness went away, he said the chazaka of dying was only for a little bit of red, even though it's not very red, but chazaka is only for red. And now that he's totally normal color, now we can do the bris milah. And that was Abaye's proof. That's what Abaye was saying, that if we see that Rav Nassim incorporated the redness into his chazaka and assumed that when the redness went away, so too did the power of the chazaka. So Kolshkein, when it's really red, I should assume l'chatchila that it's not safe to do the bris milah. As we've been alluding, another crucial question here is, if we assume, as most Akronim do, not like the Plessy, that Rabbi Nassim did know about the death of the first two children, did he know anything about whether they were red or not? If he did not know anything about their color, then again we have the question, how could he be Makel on the third child? Even after the redness went away, but the first two children had died, they may not have been Mesu Machmas Mila, they may have been ordinary Mesu Machmas Mila. We don't know if they were discolored. And if they were ordinary Mesu Machmas Mila, how can we allow Mila of the third child even after his redness had receded? So here we have a number of different approaches in the Achronim. The Tiferes Yaakov, along with other Achronim, just says that Minastam, he assumed they were red. Some Achronim say because the third child was red, he assumed the first two were red too. Avinezer says, Afshla Ra, Rabbi Nassim, Heiladim Rishonim, he hadn't seen the first children, Shem Adumim, he didn't know, he assumed they were red. Mistama Hayu Adumim Kama Shlishi. Just like the third one was red, he assumed the first ones were red too. The Nodib Yehuda, on the other hand, has a very intriguing pshat. He says in Echanami, Rabbi Nassim did not know whether the first children had been read, and in Echanami, he had to treat this as Mesa Machmas Mila. So how could he then allow the Mila of the third child after his redness has receded? He says in Echanami, he didn't. When you have a chazaka of Mesa Machmas Mila, so you have to wait, you can't do the Mila right away. But it's not clear, and there is major discussion in the poskim, how long you have to wait. It doesn't necessarily mean that you don't do the Mila at all. So he says, you know, Yehuda learns that when you have Mesa Machos Mila, Ink Peda Rach Shalomel Bashmini. The only consequence of Mesa Machos Mila is not to do the Mila right away on the eighth day. But after the baby has had a chance, she is chazek, to become stronger and hardier, then you do the Mila. And he says, when Rabbi Nassim told the woman that after he's red, he can do the Mila, he wasn't going to stop being red tomorrow. He meant, didn't come back, ask me a shayla. So he meant that in the course of that too, he's also going to be stronger, and he won't. So in Echanami, he was Mesa Machmas Mila, Rabbi Yehuda says. And Itaka wasn't Mekel to do the Bris Mila right away. Had he stopped being red on the eighth day, he never would have been Mekel. He was only Mekel to do the Bris Mila eventually, at which point Mesa Machmas Mila would no longer have been a concern either. Beis Ephraim also assumes, as we read from Avinezer and Tveres Yaakov, that he assumed that the first ones were red. However, the Beis Ephraim insists that was not because the third one was red. He says that would be even if the third one was not red. He still would have been able to assume that the first ones were red. That's going to become relevant in a later part of our discussion. What are you going to do if the third child is not red, but the first two died and the first two may have been red? That's going to be a major discussion later, but the Beis Ephraim says that regarding our ability to assume that the first ones only died because they were red, if we don't know, it makes no difference, he says, whether the third one was red or not. He says, it's not the Stavri, he says. He says, it makes no difference. If we don't know if the first ones were red, whether the third one is red or not, is not a factor in determining that. There is a Svara, which we will see later, of the Beis Yitzchak, who says, no, it is a factor. And he makes an argument using sort of Bayesian probabilities. Normal probabilities are things like, if we ask questions like, if I study 2 hours for this test, what are the odds that I will pass? Bayesian probabilities, we consider the reverse questions. Given that I passed this test, what are the odds that I must have studied at least 2 hours? So the Beis Yitzchak wants to say, if a woman had two children who were not red, then there would be a chazaka, the third child was not red too. Therefore, using a kind of Bayesian chazaka argument, if the third child is red, that would contradict the chazaka, so that tells us that it's unlikely that the first two were both non-red. So he says, our ability to assume that the first ones were indeed red is actually affected by the fact that the third one was red based on using chazaka in a reverse direction. Much of the discussion on what Rabbi Nassim knew and when he knew it revolves around a Tosfos in Chulin and Daf Mem Zayin, and that's, as we mentioned, that's where the Braisa of Rabbi Nassim appears a second time in Shas. Tosfos has a very cryptic and very problematic comment. He says, Nira de Savar, apparently Rabbi Nassim holds to betray Zimni Havi Chazaka ki Rebbe. As we mentioned, Rebbe says twice as a Chazaka, Rabbi Shimon Galil says you need three times. Says Tosfos, it looks like Rabbi Nassim held two. Why? Midamar Lahamtini. Because he told her to wait, that implies, Trei Mili Havi Chazaka. tell us this is Appella. What is... Rabbi Nassim didn't say wait because of the Chazaka. He said wait because the kid was red, like Abaye. So what on earth does this have to do with Chazaka? So this question is asked, firstly, by the Radvaz and the Marsha. The Radvaz has a very interesting and very hard to understand pshat. He understands that Rabbi Nassim did know that the first two were red, not like the other Acharim who mostly assumed that he did not know, that we've seen up till now who assumed that he did not know. He may have assumed, but he certainly didn't know. The Radvaz assumes that he did know. So he says, in Rabbi Nassim's situation, if there would not be a chazaka, for example, if you'd holak Rav Shimon Galil, if there's no chazaka, he says, how could he have allowed the milah? He should have said, Asir lamalo ad sheyigdal. You have to wait until the kid grows up. The only reason he was makil after the redness went away is because he held like Rebbe. And the chazaka is not the meisim achas milah. The chazaka is that it was the redness that killed. The chazaka is that we know why he's dying. We know why, because twice already he was red and he died, because Rinasim knew that. And that's why he said, I'm not worried about meisim achas milah. I know why he died. He died because he's red. The Radvaz is Marafsan Igri. I really do not understand at all what he's saying. Why on earth, if you hold like Rav Shimon Galil, if there's no chazaka, why on earth would you have to wait to do the milah till he grows up? If there's no chazaka, he's not meisim achas milah. He's regular red. In a bias case, surely nobody holds you have to wait till he grows up. As soon as he stops being red, I'm pretty sure that's halacha psuka. Everyone agrees that if the only problem you have is redness, and there's no chazaka, meisim achas milah, then as soon as he stops being red, you're makel. You do the milah. The Radvaz seems to assume that without the chazaka telling you that the redness here was actually an important factor, you would actually not do the milah until the kid grew up. So I don't understand that, but I'll call upon him. The Radvaz says that Rabbi Nassim actually did know that both children were, the earlier children were also red. The Marsha also asked us kasha on Tosis. What on earth does this have to do with chazaka? Rabbi Nassim made them wait because of the redness. So the Marsha explains that the raya of Tosfos is, why did Rabbi Nassim mention at all that the first two children had died? Why is that relevant? If Rabbi Nassim's din was just a bias din, they have to wait for a red child. Who cares about the history of the first two? Maisa Shai Kachai. I mean, why does the Brayse have to tell us this? Al Karchach says the Marsha, as we mentioned before, in Rabbi Nassim's time, this din was not widely known. The idea that you don't do a bris milah on a red child, Rasan himself wasn't necessarily going to pass like that. The only reason he said wait is because there were already two children who died when they were red. Rasha's lashon is not entirely clear. He writes, Mishum de Mesu Kfar Beis Banel Shahayu Gam Kenadumim. Her first two children died and they were red. Most Acharonim understand the Rasha to mean, like the Radvaz, that Rabbi Nassim knew that her first two children were red and dead. That's why he told her Hamtini, betrays him nihavi chazaka. Be'achash nivl bohadam, amar lamalosa dlohokskala ba'adumim. Mishum shal nivl adai in hadam ba'am mesu. Rabbi Nassim was really being machmed, was really telling her to wait for the milah, not because simple of the redness, because that was not yet a halacha psuka, rather because she was already hoksika to lose children. Many Acharonim, including the son of Nadbi Yehuda, in a note to the Nadbi Yehuda, other Acharonim point out, this is very dachuk because the Gemara doesn't say anything about the first two children being red. To say that Rabbi Nassim's entire din was based on his having ascertained, having asked, having known that the first two children had been red is ikar kasim ben sefer. The Chasam Sefer also asked this question then, that if Rabbi Nassim did not know that the first two children were red, then how could he have been make? How could he have allowed the milah? Maybe it was regular meisim achas milah. Chasam Sofer says, if you're going to tell me that rov banim are not meisim achas milah, ain't olchem b'chul nefesh achar rov. So the Shoel wanted to say that there's a special exeris of kasuv and milah that we do follow rov, even though this is a sakana. This is a point we'll return to later. A number of Acharonim do say this, but Chasam Sofer himself proposes a different answer. He says that it's true, even by milah, he says, perhaps, ain't halchim b'pikuch nefesh achar rov, as long as there's a real chance of danger, we're not going to do the milah, he says. But here, there is no real chance. Why do we have a problem in the first place? Only because of a chazaka. We don't have real evidence. All we have is that it happened twice in the past, chazaka. Since the whole tzad to worry about misa, to worry about danger is because of chazaka, then we apply the klal, Ruba v'chazaka, Ruba adif, only because there is no objective reason to be reason to worry about danger except for the chazaka. Therefore, Rov trumps that. For Inachinami, if there was an objective possibility of danger, we would not follow the Rov. The Shaul Meshev, in his Yad Shaul and Yeridea, brings the Marsha and says, Divrei Pi Chacham Chein, but it's, again, it's Dachuk, because the Mar doesn't say that the first two are read. So the Yad Shaul also concludes that Rabbi Nassim did not know the first two were read, but he says, we have a principle, Shara Mitzvah Le'eda Davara. So normally, our default assumption is that anytime it's not Shchiyah Chazeka, we have to assume the mitzvah would protect him and he wouldn't die. So if the first two children died, that would seem to contradict the rule of Shara Mitzvah Le'eda Davara. So insofar as we have a way out, we can say that wasn't an ordinary case. Those children were read, and that was Shchiyah Chazeka. That makes much more sense, because that allows us to keep our presumption that people who do mitzvahs don't normally get hurt, unless it was Shchiyah Chazeka. So if we don't know, then the rule of Shara Mitzvah Le'eda Davara tells us that most probable there was something wrong, that they were read. Because if they were not read or they died anyway, that would violate the rule of Shara Mitzvah Le'eda Davara. The Beis Yitzchak, as we mentioned before, says Rabbi Nassim's basis for assuming that the first ones were read and that this was not an ordinary Mesa Machas Mila was based on the fact that the third one was read too. As we explained before, he brings a Marsha and he points out that it's that he brings the Chuvas Arim and discusses the Marsha, and he says his own shot is not that Rabbi Nassim knew that the first children were read, but that on the contrary, if the first two were not read, then she has a chazaka of having normal children. That chazaka runs smack into the fact that the third child was read. So the chazaka would be violated. In order to preserve the integrity of the chazaka, similar to what the Shalom Eishev says about preserving the integrity of the rule of Shomer Mitzvah Le'eda Davara, Beis Yitzchak says in order to preserve the rule of chazaka, we would rather say that probably one of the first two was also read, and she does not have a chazaka of having normal children. So we have a machlokes achronim whether Rabbi Nassim actually knew that the first two are read, as the Radvaz says, as the Marsha seems to say, although the Chuvas Arim learned Marsha differently, or as a number of other achronim say, that Rabbi Nassim did not know that the first children were read, and still he was mekil, perhaps because of the svarah he assumed they must have been read, because otherwise Shomer Mitzvah Le'eda Davara. Or perhaps the Beit Yitzchak Svar, that he assumed they must have been read, because otherwise her chazak of having healthy children would be contradicted by her third red child. An alternate, a parallel version of this question, this discussion, occurs in the context of another Tosfos in Chulin and Avdal. The Gemara talks about the concept of Mesu Achav Machas Mila, that somebody that is an RL who's a Rasha, who's not doing Mila when he's supposed to, has the halachas of an RL. There's also somebody who's Mesu Achav Machas Mila. It's not his fault that he didn't do Mila. So what does that mean? What kind of person are we talking about? Tosfos says, the Gemara is referring to someone who was either whose brothers got Milas when they were already adults, Umesu, an unusual case. Why do I have to say that, says Tosfos? Because Ibishmini, if the brothers had ordinary bris Milas on their 8th days, then that would not have the status of Mesu Achim Nachas Mila. Dilem Mishim Dilem Nivlo Behem Adam. Maybe they were red. Maybe they had bad blood problems. And therefore, they would not have the status of Mesu Achim Machas Mila, and they would still be Mechoyev in Mila. Inami, Afilu Bishmini, we can have a case of Mesu Machas Mila even when the first Bris Milas occurred on the proper time on the 8th day. Uchagon Sheititu Behen, they were carefully examined, Verosh Nivel Ben Adam. And we inspected them, and we saw that they had no blood problems. So Tosfos, all that Quran point out, Tosfos seems pretty clear. That misafik, if you don't know if the first children were red, we do not have the status of Mason Machas Mila, and the third child, Mila, must still go ahead, otherwise he will be called an Aral. The Ritva brings Tosfos and explicitly rejects Tosfos. He says, Lassa midinokele talmudistam. The Gemara just says Mason Machas Mila, period, and doesn't make these ukimtas, says the Ritva. Vatam, why is Tosfos wrong? The kolsha Mason Achiv Machas Mila. Makam Yeruhu L'chal Adam. Anyone has the right to say, this is dangerous, I'm scared, I don't want to do this. The Kol She'eshem Tzad Yeruhu Pachad, as long as there's a legitimate worry, Eino Nidon K'muad Klal, He's not considered a Rasha. He's not considered an Aral. Now, the Marsham points out that even the Ritva doesn't necessarily mean that it's Mutter L'Chatchil not do the Mila. The Ritva could just be saying that he's not a Mumar. He doesn't have the status of an Aral, of a Mumar, of a Rasha. But a Chi of Mi Mila could be he does, just we understand why he didn't do it. Rav Shmuel Eger and his Gilyan Marsha on Shulchan Aruch Yerodeh from Reish Simach Gimel brings a similar svara. He doesn't mention the Ritva, but he asks as a kasha on Tosfos. He says, how can Tosfos say that someone whose brothers died still is considered an RL and a Rasha for not doing Mila because maybe they were red? He says, but he's worried. He's nervous, and he can't really fault him for being nervous, he says. And he brings an analogy. He says, Halach is, in certain cases, are Yahari Valyavar, like the Gimel Chamuros, as we mentioned in the beginning of the lecture. Nevertheless, the Halach is over Veino Nerag, someone who is not Omer Ben Yisayon, and values his life too much and doesn't give it up, is not considered Chayav Misi. He's not considered a Rasha Gomer, because we, even though he didn't do what he's supposed to do, but we can understand what he did. So too, he says, what does Tosfos mean? What, just because Al Pi Halacha, we would assume, for some reason, as we shall soon discuss, that the first brothers may have been red, but we're not going to fault this guy and call him a Rasha for worrying that he may die. And the Marsham says, that's Pshat, that is Pshat in the Ritva. Nevertheless, though, the Marsham does bring an Eshkol, who says clearly that even L'chatchila, we will not do the Mila if we don't know why the first ones died. The Eshkol's Lashon is, in Mesa Lisha Beis Machmas Mila Lo Tamu L'Gimel. If two die, we don't do the Mila for the third. But v'chazinan demesu machmash l'nivl b'hem dam, if we see clearly that it was because, doesn't say the word clearly, but he says if we see that it was because the first two had sanguinary problems, then ein kan chazaka, the chazinan time of demesu. He brings the Gemara of Abaye and Rav Nassin. He says again, mehay uvda chazinan demesu shnayim yishlachosh v'loyim ala gimel ad yadinan baru reyes ad avibod lecha gimel. The only time we go ahead with the bris on the third child is only if we know for sure what the problem was with the first two. So the Marasham says, we see clearly from the Eshkol, like the simple reading of the Ritva, not like Tosfos, that as long as we don't know why the brothers died, we will not go ahead with the third one, even though it's possible that the first two died because they were red. Another discussion of Achronim in this understanding the scope of this Tosfos is, Tosfos is telling us that insofar as the first two may have died because they were red, because they were discolored, then the third one who is not red, must go along with his bris mila. So a number of Acharim suggests that makes sense, again, in the time of Chazal, in the time of Rabbi Nassim, where the halacha of not doing a bris on a red child was not well known, then there's a very realistic, very plausible possibility that the first two children may have been red and had their milas done anyway because the halacha wasn't necessarily widely followed, and that's why they died. But Bizman HaZeh, where every mohel knows that we don't do a bris mila on a red child, mehecha tesi to say that the first child was red, but then the mohel should never have done the mila. So some posts can discuss the question of whether we say rov mitzuyim esel shchita mumchem hein, the Beis Yitzchak discusses that. But a number of Acharim suggest that Tosfos' din may be limited to Pshat in the Sugya, in the time of Chazal, where Mohelim would actually do bris milas on children who were discolored. Beis Meir says, Yeshlos topic, if Tosfos' din applies af ha'idna. Or maybe not. Ha'idna lo shayach klalkus yasim. Ef shu bimeim adayim lo nisparis in the Rabbi Nassim. Maisa calls that tzarachin, he says. Beis Ephraim also says this far. He says, Shani b'hach Rabbi Nassim adayim lo nischacha alach shetzarach lahamtin. That's why we entertain the possibility that they died because they were red. Masha'en kein achad z'naktinan l'hadr Rav Nassin. Once Rav Nassin's din is established halacha, then we say, kimon d'malo harishonim b'vada hu b'riim k'roi, afil hochi mesu. So he says, Tosfos, who he takes for granted, seems to be assuming that this is halacha l'maisa, this would apply even today. Tosfos must assume that even today, where a mohel will not do a bris mila if he was red, maybe the mohel missed it. Maybe there was some element of redness which escaped the mohel. And that's what Tosfos says. That's what you have to be choshish for. Unless it was hetzitzu, unless you looked very closely, you did a very careful examination, even an ordinary mohel today may have missed some kind of redness. But he says at the end, he says tzarachin, because the lashon l'gemara is that if you don't see the red, you're not choshish. To say that we're choshish for invisible or very subtle redness is not mistaver. Beis Yitzchak also says that Tosfos' din should not really be negeh b'zman hazeh. Even Lefitosis, he says, that only made sense. Kodim Shiyadu Adin, that they didn't do Mila. But Bizman Azeh, he repeats this a couple of times, Bizman Azeh, then certainly Ein Litla Shirisham Lo Nivla Man Adam. Today we can't assume that the first ones had blood problems because nobody would do a Mila in such a case. So Bizman Azeh, Tosfos' Din would not apply. How do we paskin, like this Tosfos or not? So a number of Rechonim say that Tosfos is not Lahalacha. The Beis Yitzchak says that Kafiya Nira Kain Das Rov Poskim, not like Tosfos. He brings a very interesting raya. He says the Rama and Reish Samach Gimel brings two opinions as to whether the Mesu Machas Mila is rooted in the Ish or the Isha, the father or the mother. If the couple had two children who died and then they broke up and each one remarried and had another child, which child shouldn't do the Mila? The child of the father or the child of the mother? So the Rama says, Misafek, you don't do either one. Safek Nefashos Lahakel, you don't do either one. He says, according to Tosfos, the rule is, anytime you have a Safek, he says, we do the Mila. He understands Tosfos to be saying a broad, general principle that Tosfos is telling us, a Chumrah, that anytime there's a Safek, you have to do the Mila, we don't worry about the risk to life. And he says, because in other places in Mila, the Halacha is that Misafek, we say Safek Nefashos Lahakel, and we don't do the Bris Mila. Beis Yitzchak himself was discussing a case where he died several days after the Mila, and it wasn't entirely clear whether it was Machmas Mila or not. So he says that would also be a Safek, and that would be Tali in the Machlokas, Tosfos and other Rishonim, whether Misafek we go ahead with Mila, Misafek we don't. And he says the Ikar is not like Tosfos. The Yad Shol, Sholem Eshev again, says something even more interesting. He says, we mentioned earlier the Machlokas, Rebbe and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, whether Chazaka is betray Mili, betray Zimni, or betlasa Zimni, two times or three times. So the Gedolei HaRishonim said that because it's Sakanas Nefashos, we're making a Pikuach Nefesh, and we don't do the Mila even if only two brothers died. Says the Sholem Eshev, wait, going to Tosfos, the way he explains Tosfos, it's because of Shar Mitzvah Liyedah Davara, as we said before. It's because in order to preserve the principle of Shomer Mitzvah, we would rather say it was Shchiyah Chazek and he was red. We would rather say that there's not Mesim Machas Milos. So too in that Gemara, he says, if you have two brothers who died. So it makes more sense to say Mikru Dekara. It makes more sense to say Mikru Dekara, he says, and we should not say a Chazaka, because saying it as a Chazaka is more of a violation of the principle of Shomer Mitzvah Liyedah Davara, even though in any event the first two somehow are going against the Chazaka. That's when he turns around and he says, Kimon demikalmakom safeku, shema es chazik b'zeh, since self-kosof, the first two did die, maybe it's a Chazaka. Then he says, we do say something about shlahakel. So he's not sure whether lefi the shita of Tosfos, that anytime there's a safek where machmer require mila, how would that apply in the machlokes Rishonim about how to paskin whether trei mili have a Chazaka or tlasa zimni. Leivari also says, Kein mashim b'chol ha-poskim, shesosmu v'kosfu, the stimus ha-poskim is not like Tosfos. The mesa machos mila is not a mumar. They don't say anything. They don't make the kimtos of Tosfos. Now again, we have the same kasha we mentioned before, Rabbi Nassin, how to understand Tosfos. Just like before we asked Rabbi Nassin, how was he makel to allow the mila after the redness receded? Here in Tosfos' case, the baby was never red. Just that his two brothers died, and Tosfos was saying, we don't worry about the first two because maybe they were red. Unless we know for sure they were not red or they were adults, we're going to make the third one do a Mila. So again, the same question as before, what happened to Safek Nefashos Lahakel? So before we mentioned, some Achronim understood, Beis Yitzchak Svara was, then in the case of Rabbi Nassim, where the third one was red, that's why we assume the first ones were red too, because otherwise you would contradict the Chazaka. That doesn't apply here. So here we have to say other Terutzim. Many Acharim Taka asked this question on Tosfos. How do we understand why does Tosfos require the child to do a Mila? There's a Safek Sakana. Maybe the first ones were not red, and maybe there's really Mesim Machos Mila. So the Maria Sad in Yehuda Yala says, similar to the Sparrow we saw before in the Sholem Eshev, he says again, Shar Mitzvah Liyedah Davara. That tells us that probably the first ones were not normal situations. Probably they were red. He also adds, Kivan de Rov, Eina Meis Machos Mila. Rov tells us that there were not Meis Machos Mila. That's somewhat hard to understand because Rov also says they weren't red. So why are we? So we have two possibilities. Either they were red, and that's not relevant to the third one because the third one is not red, or they were Mason Machas Mila, that is relevant to the third one. So why exactly does Rove? Why exactly does Rove have any bearing on the matter? So the Beis Yitzchak does invoke the Svara of Rove to explain Tosis. And he says something very interesting. He says, even though normally we say, Ain't Halchim Pikuch Nefesh Achar Rov, normally we say, Seven Vashas Lahakel, even if there's a remote sad, we're Mekel and we're Mevatel Mitzvahs, we're Mechal Shabbos, we're Mevatel Mitzvahs. Mila is different, he says. Because Mila, he says, Mila is inherently dangerous. He brings the famous Rashi in Gittin, Ki Alecha, Ragnu Kol Hayom, Zu Mila, because sometimes they die. So Mila is inherently dangerous. And the Torah still said to do Mila. So Al Karchach, the Torah is suspending the ordinary rule of Ein Halchin V'Pikuch Nefesh Achar Rov in the context of Mila. He brings a very interesting analogy. He says, the Torah says, Bal Tolan, don't let a mace, a corpse, stay overnight unburied. Bury it right away. Even though that will mean that we sometimes bury live people. This was a major problem in the 19th century. Governments actually passed laws requiring cadavers not to be buried for 3 days. Postkim had major debates about what to do about these laws. But certainly the Metzius is, says the Beis Yitzchak, you can't deny that occasionally the Torah's insistence on the rapid burial of a mace will result in somebody being interred alive. A terrible fate. Ein halchim pikuch nefesh achar rov. Teretz is, kach gozer Torah. The Torah said it wants mason buried right away, even if that will result in sometimes people getting killed. So that's the Gzeiras HaKasev. So he says here he says, we're not sure why the first two brothers died. Either way, he says, something was against the Rove. Either they were red, they were discolored, they had blood problems, or there was a Mason Machas Mila situation. He says, but Manavshach, something was wrong. So what we do is, he says, we look at the third Vlad, and we say, you third Vlad, if they were Mason Machas Mila, that applies to you, and you're in danger of Mila. If they were red, that's not relevant to you. So we say that you're Minarov. Minarov is that you're a normal baby. You're certainly not red, but Minarov is that you're not Mason Machas Mila. So the Rove itself allows us to say, the Rove of the third baby allows us to say that the first babies were really red and not Mason Machas Mila, which would extend to the third baby. And that is actually a very interesting application of Rove. Because it's true that on the third one you have a Rove, but on the second one, Rove is not Machria, because either possibility is against the Rove. So one could argue that since Manavshach is against the Rove, the only question is the problem that was against the Rove, does that extend to the third one or is that limited to the second one, that you don't say Rove. But he says, no, you do say Rove, and that's why we're Tola, that's why Tosis holds, that even though it's Pikuch Nefesh by Mila, we follow Rove, and the Rove tells us to limit the problem of the first two babies to themselves, that they were red, and not to make a more general problem, Mason Machas Mila, that would extend to the third child. This idea that there's a special chiddush in Mila that it applies even b'malkum chashash sakana is discussed by the Avnei Nezer too. A number of Rachmanim have a problem with the Rambam in our sugya. The Rambam says that a baby who's red or green, you don't do the Mila. The Rambam concludes with an exhortation. He says, "Nishezech cholihu," the baby's sick and you don't do the Mila. And he adds with a very strong admonition, "Sarach liyizar b'dvar melu harbe." You have to be very careful about these things. Ein molin el avlad she'ein bo shum choli. We only perform the circumcision on an infant that has no sickness at all. Sakanas nefashas doches hakol, because sakanas nefashas overrides all other mitzvahs. Ve'efshir lama l'achas man. You can always do the bris milah later. Ve'efshir l'achas nefesh achas miyisrael la'olam. But if you kill somebody, you can never bring him back to life. So a number of Rechonim ask, what do you mean efshir lama l'achas man? That's why you don't do the milah. Let's say he was permanently red. He's never going to get better. You don't do the milah at all, Lachari. He's sick. He's in danger. Why does the Ram say, Efshir lama l'achas man? You could say it just L'Ravcha d'Milsa, but a number of Rechonim ask. The Ram seems to say that that's part of the reason. Why do you need that reason? The Gaon seems to allude to this. Avnei Nezer, Chassam Sofer, Atzis Kashuk, Tzorochi and Gadol, Shlomo Eger. So Avnei Nezer has a very interesting approach. He suggests that, as we mentioned earlier, the danger of redness or of Mason Machas Mila, the danger of these things is not really a real chashash takana, just a chashash rachuk, he says. So he says, and that's the rule of Mila, that for a chashash rachuk, chashash ba'alma, we would not postpone Mila. Because every meal is sakana. As Beis Yitzchak said, he brings the same gemara in Gittin, Ki Alecha Ragnu Kol Hayom. So he says, to be madcha mila entirely, if the mila could never be done, then since it's only a chashash, you would have to do the mila anyway. That's why the Rambam says, Efshir Lama La'achras Man, that Efshir Lama La'achras Man, that's why you wait. But if you wouldn't do the mila at all, then because it's only a chashash, mila, the Torah said, you do, even when there is a chashash misa. He says, K'maduma l'shiken kasvach chasam sefer. And that's chasam sefer we mentioned before, that he brought from the Shoal, who was holid chadashas, that every mila, why do you do mila if there's ein alcham pukun nevashach harav? Mila is always some element of danger. And the Shoal said, holid chadashas, exeris akasa huva mila, denezel amila, basra harav, besicharas and fashas to machmasa. Avinezer now brings a very interesting raya. The Gemara says that in the Dar HaMidbar, that they didn't do mila, nobody except Levi. The Pasuk says, Ubris Chayin Tzaru, refers to about Shevet Levi, that they kept mila. Nobody else kept mila. Why didn't anybody else keep mila? So the Gemara says, Lo Nosh V'lehem Ruach Tzfonis. The north wind, which was necessary for the proper healing of mila, was not blowing during their stay in the Midbar. So there was an element of danger. So, what's the problem? If they didn't do mila because, if they were actually allowed to because it was dangerous, why would it be ma'akev their ability to eat the Karban Pesach? It says they couldn't eat the Karban Pesach because they couldn't bring a Karban Pesach because they hadn't done the mila, most of Klal Yisrael. But if they weren't supposed to because it was pikuach nefesh, that's not ma'akev. He brings raya to that. Al karchach lomer, he says, really, it's not a major danger. It's a chashash. See, he says, that which the Gemara says, Yoma de'iva lama halinan bay, on a cloudy day where you don't have the proper wind, or it's cloudy, you don't do the mila, that's only because, like the Rambam says, because efshir lama la'achras man, because you can do it later. But if you can't do it later, if it's permanent, the entire 40 years there was no ruach tzfonis, then you have to do the mila, like the diuk from the Rambam. And Klal Yisrael was wrong in not doing the mila, and only Shevet Levi was right in doing the mila. He actually suggests Yesh Lidchas, another reason why they should have done the Mila, because just like Shas HaShmad, even a Rakhtat HaMasani, even a Shulais, is Yahari Val Yavar. So the Ran says, and Sanhedrin he brings, that something which is relevant to all of Klal Yisrael, a comprehensive, permanent situation, is like Shas HaShmad, and even Hanas Atzmo, the Ran says, even though there's no intent to destroy the Judaism of the community, still, if it's Klolos Yisrael, if it's something affecting Yisrael as a whole, it has the status of Shas HaShmad. So maybe that's why they were mechuyev to do the mila, because even if it was a real suffix, maybe nevertheless it was considered the equivalent of Shas HaShmad. But he says no. The Rambam says that Shas HaShmad is only when it's mechavir lahaviro, not lahanos atzmo. So we're not have a status of Shas HaShmad. So al karchach. The first pshat, that it's only a chashash ba'alma, and a chashash ba'alma is not a reason to push off mila indefinitely, only for a temporary postponement. Avinezer discusses the same idea of mila and a chashash ba'alma in another context. He says again, even when these things that Chazal said are not pushed off the mila, he says, if you ask the doctors, he says, they would say no problem. They would say do the mila. So he says, Avinezer wants to say a chiluk between an adult and a child. He's coming to explain a shita that you would only do the mila in the case where it was meis machas mila, and you're waiting until he becomes stronger. He brings a shita that has to be both stronger and he has to reach his majority. He has to be in his gadol. So he explains, because there is a chashash, but the chashash is something that mila is docha. It's only a chashash rachok, so you still have to do the mila, but that only applies to the person himself, he says. The person himself is mitzvah to ignore the chashash rachok and do the mila anyway. But not to Mal Hassan. He says the famous klal, we have this in Choshen Mishpah, b'shalo adim rashoi v'lo b'shal acherim. The Torah can tell you to risk your life for the mitzvah, but it's not telling you to risk somebody else's life. This would seem to be a contradiction to his previous piece. His previous piece was that Yisrael were wrong in not doing bris mila on their sons because of a chashash rachok. Their sons, l'chara, were infants. Or even if they weren't infants, their sons were their sons. How can we fault the parents for not doing mila on their sons? There we seem to be assuming that when it's a chashash rachuk, even on your son, you should do it. Harry says that Kol Zman Shelo Gadal, as long as the child has not reached his majority, even though the Torah commands a person to do a bris milah on himself, under the chashash rachok, not on his children. And that's what he wants to explain to the Rambam, that the Rambam says that he's going to have a milah la'achar zman, he means if there would be no option and he would vaday never get better and he would have to have the milah when he grew up, then he might as well do the milah now, because even though he's a child, he's going to have to do it later anyways. He might as well do it now. He'll have the mitzvah now. It'll be easier when he's a child. But the Rambam means, since when he grows up, he might be healthier. So Melon, there's no heter to do it now, even though a person himself might be mechuyev to do it now because it's the chashash rachuk, but for a child, you're not mechuyev, and that's why you should wait till the child grows up, because maybe the problem will have gone away by then. This basic question of whether a person is able to misakin b'no or not is also discussed by the Beis Yitzchak. Beis Yitzchak is actually going on the Chasam Sofer, who's talking about a case where the chashash is serious enough that a person is not mechuyev to do the milah. Chasam Sofer, though, proposes that he still might be allowed to risk his life and do the milah, and that, Beis Yitzchak says, even if he is, initially, in one tshuva he wrote that he still would not be allowed to do it to his son. It was pashut to him. L'dayti, he says, afmu rashoy l'sakin batzim mekalach macher and rashoyim l'mula. You certainly can't risk somebody else's life. The echisag yaskinu v'hem was haram al-damo. Navnezer said this far, even in a case where a person himself would be mechuyev to risk his life because it's only a chashash rachuk, he still said that you wouldn't be allowed to do it to a child. And the Beis Yitzchak is saying, certainly the Beis Yitzchak is saying that in a case where it's only a reshus for you, or for you yourself a namachayiv, certainly you would not be allowed to do it to your son. But in another tshuva, he retracts. He's not so sure anymore. And he brings a raya again from the case of the Mila and the Midbar and Shevet Levi, Kishamur Mursech of Rizcha Yintzaru. Unlike David Nezer, who assumes that the Jews were mechayiv to do Mila and they were wrong in not doing Mila, he turns it around. He assumes that because of the absence of Ruach Tzvanis, the Jews were not mechuyev, and Shevet Levi volunteered, and he wants to bring a raya from that Shevet Levi was able to volunteer and risk the lives of their children, even though they were not mechuyev to. On this topic, I would just mention a tshuva I always like to quote of the Mil Tzedakah. He talks about a case of three families who wanted to make Aliyah. The fathers and mothers are both on board, and they wanted to take their children. The local based and objected and said that it's dangerous and you can't risk the children's lives. Mil Tzedakah argues, no, that their based is wrong. He says that the danger is not any greater for the children than it is for the father, for the parents. And he argues that anything a person is allowed to do for himself, he's allowed to do to his children too. He takes for granted that there are not different standards, that something which is considered below the bar falls within the threshold of reasonable risk. The person himself can do it for the purpose of making Aliyah. He can do the same thing for his children. So in summary, the story of Rabbi Nosson, the place he says he didn't know anything about the first children. And had there been a chazaka, had he known about the deaths of the first children, he wouldn't have been able to do the milah on the third one even after the redness receded. Everyone disagrees with the place he says Rabbi Nosson certainly didn't know about the deaths of the first children. You know, the Behuda says that even though he knew about the deaths of the first one, but since he didn't know if they were red, he had to treat this as Mesa Machas Mila, so he only allowed the Mila of the third one after some time had elapsed that the Chashash of Mesa Machas Mila no longer applied. The Radvaz learns Rabbi Nosson knew for a certainty that the first ones were red, and that is the Pashas of the Marsha too, although Samachar and Amadcha the Marsha. There are a number of approaches suggested to explain if Rabbi Nosson did not know the first ones were red. Obviously, if the first ones were not red, then he couldn't have been making on the third ones. He must have assumed they were red, or at least had a suffix they were red. So there are a number of different svaras suggested by the Achronim, either because since the third one was red, he was able to assume that the early ones were red too, or because since Rove children are not Meis Machas Mila, he assumed the first ones were a special case, but not Meis Machas Mila. Or because Shara Mitzvah Le'eda Davara, or because, like Chaim Sofer says, Ruba Chazaka Ruba Adif, that there is a Rav, and that's really what we said before, that Rav and Ames Machas Mila, and that even though it's Bikoch Nefesh, since the Pram only comes Mikoch Chazaka, the Rav overrules. Tosfos goes one step further. Tosfos seems to say that even if the third one is not red, you still assume that the first one has died because they were red, and you still mostly have to go ahead with the Mila. Unless you examine the first ones carefully and know for a fact that they were not red, you still have to, you assume they were, and you assume that it's still safe to go along with the Mila. Some Acharonim suggest that Tosfos would not apply Bizman Hazeh, where the Mohel is not supposed to do the Mila if the children are red, and only apply to Rav Nachman's time, where the Mohelim sometimes did do Milas on red babies. Acharonim are not sure. Some Acharonim extend Tosfos' principle to any case where there's a Safek. If there's a Sakana, we say that Misafek could do the Mila. And as we've seen, several Acharonim explain that the reason behind Tosfos is a Mila is a special case, that Mila, Elecha Ragnu Kol Hayom, when the Torah commanded us to do Mila, it was understood that there was always an element of Sakana, and still the Torah mandated that we perform the Mila. So even in cases where we do have some Safek or some specific reason to worry about Sakana, as long as it's really a Safek and there's a Rov, we don't apply the rule of Shemek Vashas Lahakel, and we're Selmech on the Rov, and we go ahead and do the Mila. And although there is some question in the poskim whether this kind of Svara applies even to the Mila of a child or only to Mila of oneself.